Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning. Thank you for coming out and worshiping with us. I pray that you've been blessed thus far through the singing, through the prayers, as we remember the promises of God in Christ Jesus. And we'll continue our worship through the preaching of his word, as we want to hear from Jesus this morning. So if you have your scriptures, we'll look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, it should be page 863. Last week, for those who were here listening online, we read the account of the Roman centurion's servant being made well with just a word from Jesus. And last week, we were asking the question, what does a healthy and growing faith in Jesus look like? For this man had a faith that made Jesus marvel. And we said that Jesus, our understanding of Jesus would grow. We would understand that he's powerfully transcendent and wonderfully imminent. That we would develop a deep love for Jesus. That we would develop a love for his church and for others. We would continually grow in our understanding of our unworthiness and totally rely on Jesus' grace, and that he is Lord, that he is sovereign, and we can trust him. This week, we're going to be using the question one of the Heidelberg Catechism to direct our thoughts concerning the passage this morning, and mostly the second part of the question. The Heidelberg asked this question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? And more specifically, this morning, what is your only comfort in death? When you get the phone call about the passing of a loved one, when you receive the medical prognosis that death is approaching, and whether death approaches slowly or happens in a moment in shocking surprise, what is your only comfort in death? This morning in our passage, we'll see a mother who discovers this comfort in the midst of great heartache and points us to the one who can give lasting comfort. Let me pray and we'll read through our text this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord, you know the struggle I have this morning of just preaching through this. For we hate death. We hate it. It's touched us much recently in our congregation. And so, Lord Jesus, I need you, we need you to reassure us. Reassure us of the comfort that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'd fill our hearts and our minds in understanding these things about who you are. That as we grieve with hope. Help us to understand your power. Help us to understand your goodness. That you offer so much. So Lord, we pray that you set aside this time and that we would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to hear you. So take these things. Illumine the passage to us. Forever change your people. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Luke 7, verse 11 through 17. Soon afterward, meaning after he healed the Roman centurion's servant, soon afterward he went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up. He began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and unchanging word. What is your only comfort in death? We understand from Scripture that death is a consequence and an enemy that brings heartache. Death is not an ordinary and natural thing within evolution and survival of the fittest theory. It is a lie of the world and a lie of the evil one. Death is something we intrinsically know it's not right. Death is something that should not be. In our hearts we scream, no. There has to be more. The Holy Word of God tells us that death is a consequence to the fall of Adam and Eve and an enemy that brings heartache. Since the sin and fall of Adam and Eve, our first parents, our first representatives of humanity, mankind enters this world in a fallen state, a state of sin and misery. We have to deal with the guilt of Adam's first sin. We ourselves lack original righteousness. Our natures are corrupted. We have our consequences to our own sins. We come into the world disconnected from God. We experience his wrath and curse and the miseries of life to death itself. This is who we are outside of Christ. This is the state of humanity in the world. Fallen, lost, and condemned. Right now we are feeling the effects of the rebellion, the treason of our first representatives, Adam. And we feel the consequences of our own sin as well. You would think it would be easy to look around the world and see how these realities match the Word of God. But we're busy entertaining ourselves to death. We ignore it, we suppress it, we become blind to it, but the Scriptures are clear. In Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul uses the language seeing death as an enemy to be destroyed. This mother in Nain has experienced the heartache and realities of fallen humanity. As Jesus draws near the gate, behold, a man had died and was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. It's a funeral procession. The Jewish people would bury within the first 24 hours of a death. They were carrying on an open bier, like an open couch, kind of a structure, with a long procession behind them. And we can imagine the thoughts and the heartaches of the mother. We're not told when, but she had already lost her husband, for she's a widow. And now she has lost her son. Philip Ryken writes, he says, "Anything as painful is the death of a child. Only parents who have suffered such a loss can tell what agony they experience when they bury their son or daughter, or what anguish they endure as they continue to lament everything they have lost and everything that might have been. This dead man was her only son, and her husband was dead also. She would have a sense of loss of protection, a loss of provision, and go home to an empty house only to be flooded with memories. It's such heartache that and tears that we can understand. We felt them. We've experienced it. We've experienced it in our congregation with the passing of loved ones. And we cry out with lament and with tears. We miss them. We long to hear their voice. We want to hear their laughter. We long to feel their hand. We want to give them one more hug. Death is an ugly consequence to the fall of humanity. And an enemy. Thankfully, Jesus is compassionate. He's a compassionate Lord who offers comfort over death. He says in verse 13, when the Lord Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. He said to her, "Do not weep." Jesus, seeing this funeral procession, he could have ignored it. He could have simply just passed by and moved on. On a larger scale, Jesus could have simply passed by all of humanity to let us suffer our just judgment for treason, for rebellion against a holy God. He could have left us dead in our trespasses and sin. He could have left us to suffer death and hell for all eternity, and he would be perfectly just to do so. But God, Jesus is a compassionate Lord who offers comfort over death. R.C. Sproul in his commentary says, as Jesus saw the woman, he saw her heartbreak. Surely she was on the brink of despair. He could see the tears flowing down her cheeks. And Jesus was not unfeeling. He felt it in his soul. And he had compassion on her. Do not weep. Our God doesn't have to, but he graciously wants to give you an eternal comfort. As he says in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Psalm 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Jesus changes things. God so loved this sinful and wicked world that he could have passed by, that he would give his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God did not leave all mankind in a state of sin and misery, but he sent Jesus to be a redeemer, to bring us into an estate of salvation. Jesus did not pass by. Jesus did not ignore, and he did not pass by you, beloved. He's not ignoring you. He's not ignoring your tears, for those tears for your loved ones who have passed. And he's reminding you this morning, he is the resurrection and the life. Find comfort in him. We see Jesus gives us this miracle to remind us that death is no match for him. In verse 14, it says, Jesus came up and touched the bier. And the bearer stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. You have to imagine the scene. It's a funeral procession, the dead man being carried to his tomb with a large crowd behind him in grief. And Jesus comes up and just simply touches the structure. He's not worried about becoming unclean, for what he touches becomes clean and whole. He touches it and the whole procession stops. And he simply says the words, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Jesus didn't need to pray. He simply had to speak. Death is no match for him, as Goliath was no match for David. Death is no match for Jesus. In an instant, this man's soul was reunited with his body. Muscles regained full strength. Lungs and heart began beating and breathing. The brain and nervous system began firing in all cylinders. He sits up and he starts speaking. Jesus gives you this miracle to remind you that death is no match for him. He reminds us in John 5, speaking of our spiritual resurrection, at first he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live." He's speaking of salvation, our first resurrection, speaking of being born again, speaking of going from being dead in our trespasses and sin and coming alive by the mercies of God. Do you hear him? Have you received him? Do you see his great mercies for you that he's done on the cross for you? Then he continues. He says, "There's another hour coming." In verse 28, "Do not marvel, for there's an hour coming when all who are in the tombs, they'll hear my voice and they will come out. Those who have done good, trusting in Jesus to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, rejected him to the resurrection of judgment." Jesus simply speaks and the dead arise. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? He says in John 11. In 1 Corinthians 15, 25, Jesus must reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. I love what J.C. Ryle writes. He says, "The Prince of Peace is stronger than the King of Terrors. And though death, the last enemy, is mighty, he's not as mighty as the friend of sinners." Jesus raises the man and gives him to his mother. What a reunion. Can you imagine the mother's thoughts now? The promise holds true for you and your loved ones who have trusted in Christ. There will be a great reunion. Loved ones that we are missing right now, he will bring back together in eternal joys, wiping away our tears, and death be no more. Death is no match for Jesus. And he wants you to experience that power and share that living hope even right now. He says in verse 16, "Fear seized them all. They glorified God, saying, 'A prophet has arisen among us. God has visited his people.' And the report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country." What are your thoughts? What is the proper response to these things? Fear, awe, reverence, glorification of God. Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is holy. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is gracious. And Jesus is God. As Sproul says, the people understood that the spectacle that they had seen from this funeral procession was a divine visitation, an intrusion from the transcendental realm, a visit from God Himself. What are your thoughts? Are you prepared for death? Are you prepared for eternity? What is your hope? What is your comfort? What are you relying on? One of my favorite passages, 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and in glory, in honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Robert Dabney, he wrote to his brother. He lost his young son. And the first part of the letter is full of grief, which we would all have. Then he goes on to talk about his hope in the resurrection. He writes to his brother about his son who passed. He says, our parting is not for long. This spoiled and ruined body will be raised, and all its ravished beauties more than repaired. Our little boy is now a ransomed spirit. This is a hope inexpressible and full of glory. As I stand by the little grave, I think of the poor ruined clay within that was a few days ago so beautiful. My heart bleeds. But as I ask, where's the soul whose beams gave that clay all its beauty and preciousness? I triumphed. Has an already begun with an infant voice now praising His Savior. He's in Christ's heavenly house under His guardian love. Now I feel as never before the blessedness of the redeeming grace and divine blood which have ransomed my poor babe from all the sin and death he inherited through me. Resurrection hope. Resurrection comfort. What is your only comfort in life and in death? The Heidelberg asks, that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, both in life and in death. He has fully paid for all my sins. He has set me free from the evil one. He watches over me in such a way that not a single hair can fall from my head apart from my Father's will. In fact, all things work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Christ, and by His Holy Spirit, He assures me. He assures me. He assures me of eternal life and makes me willingly ready to live for Him from now on. Church, experience and share the living hope of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Death is no match for Him. Surrender to Him, receive Him, and live through Him. He is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to worship Lord's Day, when everything seemed hopeless and dark and done, the stone rolled away for us to look in, to see the tomb was empty, and that You would appear to so many people over a period of 40 days, So on Friday, brutally crucified, being our sacrifice, willingly laying yourself down to pay for our sins, and raised on Sunday. That God says, look to him. Look to him. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look to him. He's the one that has power over life. Look to him for life eternal. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to embrace that power today in the midst of a veil of tears, knowing one day they will be totally wiped away. Bless your people with the resurrection hope found in Christ Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen.